Good morning, brethren. Yeah, I didn't see anyone moving quickly to come up, so I'm assuming either that you all realize how long-winded I can be, or no one has anything that you're convicted that you'd like to share. Let's pray. Father, you are an amazing God. You're a God who speaks, a God who intervenes in our lives, a God who can be trusted, and a God who needs to be heard and needs to be obeyed. Pray this morning, Lord, that you would indeed speak to us, give us ears to hear, and hearts and minds and bodies that are willing to obey. In Jesus' name. Amen. You could turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. We will read the first 8 verses. Some of this message, if I get as far as I hope to get, I was sharing with someone last night that if it were up to me, if I wasn't just reading through the scriptures or teaching through the scriptures, through Thessalonians, I would probably skip a lot of this section. So chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. So in verse 1, I just want to start with that section. And I'll just read the verse again and then go to the section. Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. That section that I want to focus on right now is, as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, as you have received of us. And I want us to think this morning for a starting point. What have you received? What have you received? What had they received? Well, in chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost." They had received the gospel. They had received the gospel. In verse 6 of chapter 1, Paul says, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." They had received the word. They had received the gospel. They had received the word. There was a context to receive the word in the midst of persecution. Chapter 2, verse 13, Paul says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." They had received the gospel. They had received the word of God. Have we received the word of God? Well, I heard a yes. Well, if we would just turn to Matthew 13, the parable of the sower, parable we're all familiar with. And most often as we read the parable of the sower, we think in terms of the soil. But this morning, I would like us to consider perhaps another perspective, another way of looking at this parable. So verse 15. Well, let's back up to, we'll start with verse 15. So Jesus has already told the parable, but he has not explained it. And in verse 15 he says, "This people's heart is waxed gross." Their heart is enlarged, it's fat, it's not attentive, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their ears are dull of hearing. What does it mean to be dull of hearing? I would often have ears dull of hearing when I lived in Bolivia, because Spanish was my second language. And if you've ever lived in a context where people are speaking in a language that you don't readily understand, you have to be focused on everything that's being said. And even then, you miss a lot, and you have to kind of try to make up in your mind, what did I miss? And sometimes, it was a bit embarrassing. Like even up to when we, I think when we were both, my wife and I, in Bolivia last, when we were there last together, a brother from the church came over and visited, and he said, "There's this lady with a beard who is inviting you for lunch. Would you like to have lunch with this lady?" That's what I heard. Okay. And I'm trying to imagine in my mind, who is this lady with a beard that I'm going to be visiting? And thankfully, my wife has a better ear than I do. And we were able to piece it together. There was a man who had asked for us to bring bring shares to share, to cut beards. Okay? So he was saying, it's the wife of this man who asked for the shaver to shave beards that was inviting us for lunch. But I got the lady and I got the beard. Okay. But it's tiring. When you're focused on every word someone says, and my Spanish, if someone speaks clearly, it's I don't have to translate into English. But when it's not clear or it doesn't make sense, then I have to start translating into English. And your ears get dull of hearing. And if you're in a conversation with four or five people, and they're talking and talking and talking, even when they're talking in English, sometimes I get dull of hearing, right? And I just tune out. But when someone's speaking a language you're not comfortable with, you get dull of hearing easily. You get tired. And Jesus warns that the Jewish people, the religious Jewish people, their hearts had grown fat and lazy, and their ears, they were just tired of hearing. And their eyes, they have closed. Well, I'm not going to deal with the eyes at all this morning. I want to deal with the ears, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. God wanted to change them. God wanted to convert them. God wanted to heal them. But they didn't want to see, they didn't want to hear, they didn't want to understand. Then he says in verse 16, "Blessed are your eyes," speaking to the disciples, "for they see, and your ears, for they hear." So the connection to the heart would be through the eyes and through the ears. How are your ears this morning? How have your ears been over the past years, months, or days? Verse 18. Well, maybe back to verse 17. "For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see what you, to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them." Verse 18, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." And then he explains, the seed is the word, right? At the end of verse 19, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom," when anyone hears the word of God "and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth it, catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. And sometimes we say it's all about the heart. It's all about the heart. It's the heart that matters. But how did it get to the heart? It got to the heart through the ears. This is he which received seed by the wayside. So here is someone who has heard. They have received the word. Now, is the problem the heart, or is the problem the way they received it? Well, we know it was easily stolen from their hearts because they didn't understand. Verse 20, but he that received the seed into stony places. So they'd heard the word, they had received it. And yes, problem is, was received into stony places. But was it received into stony places because the heart was stony? Or did they receive it into stony places because there was a problem with the way they heard? Had they become dull of hearing in some way? You know? So the word is passed, and just like the example we saw, by the time it reaches the heart, it's corrupted. It's corrupted because we've become dull of hearing. We're thinking we're going to meet a woman with a beard, and we're not. We get part of it right. I'm going to meet a woman. I'm going to have lunch with a woman. But no, she didn't have a beard. How do we hear the gospel? What's the foundation of the gospel message that the Thessalonians heard? Well, we know part of the foundation because they heard it in the midst of persecution. They were persecuted for responding, yet they responded with joy to the persecution. Verse 22, he also that received the seed among the thorns. What kind of hearing, what kind of dull hearing causes us to receive the seed among thorns? I would suggest, brethren, it's not just a heart problem, it's a hearing problem. It's a dullness in the way we hear. Verse 23, he that received seed into good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth it, this person hasn't become dull of hearing, and also beareth fruit. So let me just take a few minutes to talk about the foundation, because I can tell you from my own experience, I didn't have a good foundation when I became a Christian. I knew little or nothing. Jesus existed. Jesus died on the cross. I knew some of the Bible stories. But I didn't have much of a foundation on repentance. I knew very little. If you had said to me before I got saved, if you had said to me, Howard, Why will you go to heaven? I would have said, because I'm a good boy. My good deeds outweigh my bad deeds. Well, I learned, I think I've shared before from a book I had stolen, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I had a little bit of a foundation, but not a lot. And it was as I started doing, reading this book pretty much daily, I started to get a foundation. But if you build on the wrong foundation, what's going to happen? And that's to some extent what I want us to go into this lesson with. We turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 18. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Take heed how you hear. For what whosoever hath, to him shall be given. See, there are people who hear, but they don't have. They don't retain. It doesn't get applied to their lives. And there are people who hear, and they keep what they hear, and they apply it immediately to their lives. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath, the person that receives and keeps, keeps it so that the roots grow down deep. Keeps it so that the thorns don't grow up and choke the word. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And we understand what Jesus means by that is, to him shall be given more. He will continue to grow. He will continue to learn. He will continue to prosper. The persecutions will come and he will continue to thrive. The thorns will grow up and he will make sure he cuts them down out of his life, or she does. And whosoever hath not, take heed therefore how you hear. Because if you don't have, if you don't retain, if you don't apply, if you don't keep what God has spoken, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Even what he thinks he has is going to be taken away. Take heed to how you hear. When we hear the word of God, if it hurts us, we need to accept it. If it convicts us, we need to repent. If it shows us, Howard, you're off track here, I need to get back on track. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 4. Take heed how you hear. Matthew chapter 4. have the wrong verse written down. Let's see if I have it elsewhere. So it's Mark chapter 4. Mark 4, let's go to verse 23. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he's not saying if any man has these kinds of ears. It's really talking about an inner ear that wants to hear what God says, that wants to know the truth, that wants to walk in the truth. Let him hear. Verse 24. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. So take heed how you hear. Take heed what you hear. And again, very similar words. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. In other words, to whatever extent you exercise yourself, push yourself to grasp, to understand, to live by, to have the Word of God applied in your life, it shall be measured to you. If you make the effort, you're going to receive the blessing from it. And unto you that hear shall more be given. Unto you that hear. Not just you've heard with these ears, but you've heard with ears that want to obey and apply. More will be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Take heed how you hear, take heed what you hear. When I became a Christian, 10 years old, started reading my Bible, and I would go to my dad with questions. Dad, why do we call the minister Father Harrison when God says, call no man father except God? My dad didn't have an answer for that. Dad, why don't we see healing today? When there's healing in the Bible, my dad's response, and I knew as a 10-year-old, that doesn't make sense. To my dad, I guess it made sense. He said, well, God has given wisdom to the doctors. So now we don't need miracles because we have doctors. And I knew it didn't make sense. But what would have happened if I had heeded my father's wisdom and that became my wisdom? Take heed what you hear. Make sure that what you hear is in fact the Word of God. What are you hearing? As you go through life. You see, as a 10-year-old, I was, let's say, basically blind, right? I didn't understand a lot of these things. And I pretty soon found out, it doesn't make sense going to my dad. When Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it'll happen. And I remember putting a chair in front of me in my bedroom. And I closed my eyes and I prayed that that chair would move across the room. And I opened my eyes and guess what? That chair was right there. I didn't have an answer. I was blind and trying to lead myself. Right? Later on, I understand you don't put God to the test. I would be walking home. I had to walk. It was about half hour to 45 minute walk home from school. Walking home from school, sometimes it would rain. And when it rains in Jamaica, generally, it's like buckets being poured out. And I would have on my backpack, walking home in this downpour, and I'd pray, God, protect me from this rain. And it seemed like he almost never did. And somewhere along the line, I got satisfied with the answer. He makes his rain fall on the just and the unjust, and his sun shine on the just and the unjust. So whether I was just or unjust, I guess his rain's going to fall on me and his sun is going to shine on me. And I accepted that. But I was looking for answers here. And sometimes, brethren, unfortunately, the answers we're looking for them from blind people. And if the blind lead the blind, they're both going to fall into the ditch. Let me give you an example. If you are struggling with a particular sin in your life, and you have accountability, more what I call confession, and so you confess to your brother or your sister, as the case may be, boys with boys, girls with girls, you confess, and your brother or sister says, yeah, I'm doing the same thing. How are you going to find the way out? You're looking to someone who has the same sin, who has found no solution, and you're going to find the way out. Doesn't make sense. And for those of you who are dull of hearing this example, my apologies, but not really. You know where I'm going. There is a biblical solution. If you struggle with pornography on the internet, there is a biblical solution. And probably your friend is not going to tell you if he's struggling with it, because he doesn't know it. Take heed what you hear. The biblical solution, if you're not dull of hearing, maybe the 10th time I'm saying it, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. But I need the internet for my job. Change your job. Would you rather change your job or go to hell? You know, sometimes a rat gets trapped and it's just its leg in the trap, and it can't get away. It's still alive, and sometimes the rat will actually chew through its leg and leave the leg in the trap so it can escape. It would rather lose its leg than be caught and lose its life. On the other hand, a monkey, and you probably all know the story, in some countries they'll get like a coconut and make a hole big enough for the monkey to slip its, would you call it a hand for a monkey, or slip its hand in, and there's a little stone inside that if the monkey holds a stone, it can't get its fist out. To get out, it needs to let go of the stone. And that's how they catch monkeys in some of those countries. They put a stone in this coconut with a little hole. The monkey will go along the path and knock the coconut out of the way, and it rattles. Oh, there's something in there. Puts its hand in, gets the stone, but it wants the stone. And people will come out of the bushes, and the monkey will scream, and the coconut is tied at the other end, and it won't let go of the stone. It'll get captured, and in some of those countries they eat monkeys, so it turns upon the dinner table. We're not any smarter than monkeys, many of us. We hear the messages. If you've been in this church for any length of time, you've heard the messages. But some people are dull of hearing. They would rather hear their peers. Yeah, I struggle with that too. You've been struggling for 5 years, maybe longer. There's a solution. God has, with the temptation, provided a way of escape, and you won't take it. It's not a heart problem as much as it is a hearing problem. If you had ears to hear, you would respond. So what are you hearing? Well, let me borrow from Tony's lesson. It's not quite the context, but who are you hearing? Are you hearing God? Are you hearing the Word of God? What I just told you about cutting off the hand, plucking out the eye, is not the word of Howard. What I just told you about the option of not doing it is going to hell is not Howard's opinion. It's not Howard's doctrine. It's Jesus' words. I think the most dangerous time in my life as a Christian, I was working in Calgary, Alberta. I went up to the Northwest Territories because the time I was 18 years old, I could get a job where they would pay my room and board, they would give me extra pay as an isolation allowance or a northern allowance. So I had no expenses other than toothbrush, toothpaste, soap, if I wanted it to be that way. I think I may have shared it with you before I started going to the bar. 18 years old, there you had to be at the time, I don't know what it is now, 19 to drink. I would go to the bar and I would have Pepsi. And everyone else is having beer or rum or whatever they liked. And I found, wow, when people are drunk, they're your best friends. When they're drunk, you're very popular with them. My peers, along with popularity and the desire for popularity, got me to the point where I can remember praying to God, Father, everything inside me wants to walk away from you. Please don't let me go. I started drinking, I started getting drunk. At the beginning, they would tell their dirty jokes and I wouldn't laugh. Then I started laughing and then I started telling them. What effect are your peers having on you? Are they leavening you? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. It's true in the church, it's true in society. I was just hanging out with the wrong people, doing the wrong things, and I became just like them. You have ears to hear. Is it scripture? Do evil companions corrupt good morals? Is that biblical? King James Version might put it a little bit differently, but I think that's the clear meaning. Is it biblical? Do you have good companions? I want to read the words of a hymn, How Firm a Foundation. How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. Is this book the foundation of your faith? Because this book tells you, cut off your right hand, pluck out your eye if it's causing you to sin. This book tells you that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It's not just true for church, it's true in your own individual life. This book tells you that evil companions corrupt good morals. Is that the foundation that you're building your Christian life on? What more can he say than to you he has said? What more do you want God to say to you? He's already said it. He said it many times. If you are a Christian for any length of time and you've been reading at least the New Testament, these things are not new to you. You didn't need me to come up here and tell you, to remind you. What more can he say than to you he has said, one to the Savior for refuge has fled. Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, for I am thy God, I will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand. How firm a foundation. Let me skip to 8:49. Brother, if I'm up here and I appear angry, it's not that I'm angry. It's that I'm burdened. I'm burdened. I feel broken inside. I know what it's like to be on the brink. Verse 49, am I a soldier of the cross? Are you? A follower of the Lamb? Are you a follower of Jesus, or are you a follower of your peers? Or I could have said, am I a follower of my dad? Because remember, my dad, I've shared this before, told me I should drink alcohol. He said, Howard, it'll loosen you up. You're too shy. You're too reserved. You want to talk to the girls, and the way to talk to the girls is to loosen up with a little liquor. My mom taught me to smoke before she was converted. Who am I a follower of? Because sometimes your parents can lead you astray too. Are you a follower of the Lamb? I have decided to follow Jesus. Was it a lie? No turning back? Though none go with me, still I will follow. Was that a lie at your baptism? If you sang it at your baptism? Maybe your friends aren't going with you. Have you turned back with them? And shall I fear to own his cause? Am I going to be afraid to stand up as I was when I was in the Northwest Territories, now Nunavut, the place where I was, and say, that's sin. That's darkness. I want nothing to do with those jokes. Shall I fear to own his cause? Are you afraid to stand up in front of your friends? To stand up for Jesus? They spat in Jesus' face for you. And if you're afraid to stand up, let me say this, it's like you're spitting in his face. Basically, what you're saying is, Jesus, I prefer my friends over you. I'd rather stick with my friends than stick with you. And we believe the lie that we can do both. Are there no foes for me to face? There are foes. There are foes. If you have acquaintances who are pulling you back rather than pushing you forward, they are foes. They are enemies. They are not friends. They are putting your eternal salvation at jeopardy. There are foes for you to face. Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Maybe here I'll talk about eyes I wasn't intending. Can you see the flood? Can you see the flood of pornography that's coming into the world? Can you see the flood of drifting in the wrong direction that's coming into the church? Can you see the flood? Are you going to fight against it? Are you going to help stem it? Or are you just going to let it flow? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? Are the things that I'm watching on this a friend to grace to help me on to God? Are my friends who are setting a bad example a friend to grace to help me on to God? Let me preach to myself here. The YouTube videos that I often spend too much time on, not sinful, just political stuff, what's happening in the world, are those a friend to grace to help me on to God? Or do I walk away from them feeling somewhat dry, losing my desire to pray? It's not just sinful things, brethren. Sure, I must fight if I would reign. I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. And I would add thy spirit, because you can't make it without God. Back to 1 Thessalonians 4. As you, verse 1, in the middle of verse 1 again, as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Receive it from the scriptures, how you ought to walk, and abound more and more. Are you increasing? 2025 is past, 2024 is past, 2023 is past. Are you a better Christian now than you were before? Or are you struggling with the same things which you can actually escape if you would simply obey? Abound more and more, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. You know the commandments. Cutting off your hand is a commandment of the Lord Jesus. It's not a suggestion. It's not advice. It's a command. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now we know where our hearts are. I have no hesitation in saying, if you don't cut off a source of sin in your life when you have the ability to do so, you don't love Jesus. Because his command is, cut it off. And I'm not going to be a false teacher who comes up here and says, you're okay. You're okay. Oh, Ananias and Sapphira, it was just a little lie. Everybody lies. No, everybody doesn't. Everybody watches pornography. No, everybody doesn't. You know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you would abstain from fornication. Pornography fits the classification of fornication. In fact, the Greek word for fornication, porneia, is the word we get the pornography from. Porneia, pornography. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. The scriptures say, flee fornication. Run from it. The scriptures say that fornication should not be even named once among us. Not even once. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is outside of the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. He that commits fornication, 1 Corinthians 6:18, if you're wondering where this is, he that commits fornication sins against his own body. We've looked at this in the past, but 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your body, not just your heart. Jesus said, from whence cometh, and he lists a bunch of sins, and one of them is fornication. Where does fornication come from? He says, from the heart. But what is fornication? It's something that you do in your body. And people, I said, brethren, I would rather not be preaching this. People will say things like, don't judge me, you can't see my heart. If you've been committing fornication with this for years, and you won't take the route of escape that Jesus has commanded, I can see your heart. You're a fornicator. You're a fornicator. You can make up whatever excuses you want. Men, if your wife was doing that in relation with another man, and she was saying, oh, I'm trying so hard, honey, you know, but I just get tempted. And when you're away at work, I get lonely. You wouldn't accept that. And wives, if that was your husband, oh, when I'm at work, I just get tempted. There's this scantily clad lady in the office. You wouldn't accept it. Something would have to change. Flee fornication. Marriage is honorable in all, Hebrews 13:4, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers, and that's the same root word, porneia, in other words, fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. First Corinthians 6, verse 9, know ye not, don't you know, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't you know ye not, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't think you're going to inherit the kingdom of God when you're not. Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, the very first one. Neither fornicators. Goes on, nor adulterers. And it ends in verse 10, at the end of verse 10, shall inherit the kingdom of God. fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's not Howard's teaching. It's not, I'm pretty sure the vast majority of you have read 1 Corinthians, the entire book. Right? Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, first two named, adultery, fornication. End of verse 21, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They which do such things will not inherit. It doesn't say are at risk of not inheriting. Will not, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So if I had the problem, this is what I would do. Reading these scriptures, I would say, I've got to choose this, or I've got to choose the kingdom of God. And I've already made my choice. I need to repent of this if I'm going to have the kingdom of God. But what if I need this for my work? Change my job. Now, brethren, I know there are people who have, they've put all kinds of things on their cell phones for protection. If it's working for you, God bless you. If it's keeping you away from these sins, God bless you. You've found a solution that works. But if you've tried and tried and tried all different kinds of apps to help you, and none of them are succeeding, you're always finding a way around it, you need to choose. You can go on having confession like a Roman Catholic. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. I have done this, 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 this. But what are these scriptures saying? Take heed how you hear. In other words, respond to the word of God. Don't just let it go in and do nothing. Take heed to what you hear. Because I don't care if it's your, I hate to say this, I don't care if it's your father or your mother. I don't care if it's your brother. I don't care if it's me, I don't care if it's an elder, I don't care if it's a deacon. If someone is saying, it's okay, you're safe. God's mercies are new every morning. Well, that's true. God's mercies are new every morning. If they're saying these scriptures don't mean what they are saying, they are leading you astray, they are false teachers, and you need to be careful of who you listen to. Again, it's not Howard. You need to listen to the Word of God. You need to listen to the Spirit of God. As it says in Revelations several times, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And this is the sword of the Spirit, through whom the Spirit speaks often to us. One last thing that I want to say, and I didn't want to end without this. I realize for some people, no fault of their own, this is a difficult topic, not because they're involved in things like that, but because you have been abused. You have been forced into situations that were not of your choosing. And often, those of us who stand up here, we can be insensitive to certain things. And often, it's usually young ladies, but not exclusively, can feel like damaged goods, right? Someone did things to me years ago, and I now feel like damaged goods, or even I was involved of my own accord in some of these sins. And you know, in when I was a young person, the common saying was, no one wants to drive a used car. We all want new cars when we get married, not a car someone else had driven. I would encourage you, if you fit into those categories, and this is a hard message because of it, one, for those of you who were abused, it wasn't your fault. But two, and this is far more important, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature, a new creation. And you being in Christ are totally new. Those things are not from the past. Those things are not you. You are clean. You are washed. You are the daughter of the King, the bride of the King, bride of Jesus, and he sees you as pure. And I just want to say, as a brother in Christ, I see you as pure. Because that's what this word says. And that's the reality. And so I would encourage you, if that's you, if this has been a difficult message this morning, lay hold of the foundation. Lay hold of the foundation. Because that's the foundation. You are a new person in Christ. And if we have known people like that, brothers, let us not keep looking at where the crack was. God has healed it over. God has purified these sisters or brothers, as the case may be. And let us be very careful of the words we use from the pulpit. Who wants them? Jesus wants them. And Jesus doesn't see them any different from he sees you if you have never fallen into these sins. That's the reality. That's the truth. That's the foundation. Isaac. Is Isaac here? Okay. Did you have anything you wanted to say, or should I just close? Okay, let's